All right. So welcome to Annie Bros, bonus special edition, after dark, after hours, due to the fact that the sun goes down just so early these days.
Annie Bros winter edition.
Yes. And because of winter, you can tell that it's Christmas because of all the podcasts about Christmas.
Yay.
That are starting to come out. And we are no different. We participated in this, what do you call it?
Anime Secret Santa 2019.
Yeah, due to a random rogue comment left on one of our episodes, somebody suggested that we participate in this Anime Secret Santa, which I had never heard about. Basically, there's this list of podcasts that dare each other to review something, and then they do, and they all release on Christmas, so you can have a bunch of Christmas presents in the forms of anime reviews for Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, and if you're like us growing up, you're probably in the back of a station wagon right now driving to a relative's house, and you need some anime podcasts to listen to, and because you're 12, you're listening to us.
Now, yes, while this makes complete sense in my brain, it doesn't quite work for the modern kids because they all have phones now and they can just watch the anime in the back of their parents' station wagon.
Oh, damn. That would have been so much better. I always wanted a portable DVD player because of this.
See exactly. Now kids just have phones and they just stream it on.
Damn, that's so true.
On their device. And they're like, I don't care. I'm just watching anime.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if you're from 2006, then you'll be super happy to have this tide you over until you can get back home and play PS2 and watch anime.
I have really fond memories of listening to weekly anime review in the back of my parents' excursion driving to grandma's house.
Yeah, I saved up all the AWOs and then would just do them while I'm doing chores or something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, this is great. I'm thinking about anime, but I actually have to, you know, hang the Christmas lights.
Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so we watched a show that was recommended to us by some anonymous person.
Yeah, we'll find out when you find out.
Yeah. And we had how it works is you get like a choice of three and you can choose one of them.
Yep.
And the thing we chose was Girlish Number.
Girlish Number.
Something that I hadn't seen. And if veterans of this podcast can go back and listen to probably some episode where Jack mentions that he watched this or started watching it or something. I remember him talking about it once. So there's that. I don't remember what my opinion on the subject was. I definitely didn't watch it before, and probably because it had idols and looked stupid. So that's my take.
Yeah. Well, we looked through the list and we had three options. I have a hunch that whoever gave us these picks, either their focus is schoolgirl anime, or they looked at our title of our podcast and they're like, these idiots won't like schoolgirl shows. And so they recommended three female cast dominant anime series. And we were like, oh, these all look terrible. So we looked at one and we're like, well, this one looks okay, but it's not streaming anywhere. So we're like, well, let's look for one that is streaming. And on the list, that was Girlish Number.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we picked that one.
Yep.
And we just watched it. This is like fresh off the press. Like,
yeah.
We just stopped watching episode 12 a second ago.
Yep.
Fired up the microphone. So this is all fresh in our head. So yeah, listen to us talk about this.
Another seasonal tradition we had every once in a while is we would get together and just marathon a bunch of anime. So it's befitting that this is how we did it.
That's
for
true.
A Christmas special.
This is our Christmas special. This is our last hurrah for a while.
Woo.
In real life personhood.
It's true.
Due to the fact that I'm abandoning everyone.
Yeah. You're going to board the white ships and go off to paradise.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the black ships.
The black ships, yes. No. Wrong.
And I'm going to open up paradise.
Oh, God. Commodore Laven.
I like that.
Damn, that'd be a great Twitter handle. You should see if that's available.
I'm gonna change that. Well, I'll change that to my the text.
Yeah, Commodore Laven. That's perfect.
So yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard by now, moving to Japan.
Yeah,
and this is like, I should be packing right now, but instead I'm watching anime all day.
You watched some anime and I packed earlier.
Yeah.
I reclaimed the Annie Bros library of manga.
Which you can see. You can, it technically and literally is, because if you go back in the show, in the old, on the old website, legacy.anniebroscreative.com, you can find our photos we posted of Kenny giving me all this manga in the first place.
Yep.
I took it to Jack's house and we opened it up and went through what it was.
Oh, I remember that. That's a great episode.
I know. And so it comes full circle, because yeah, Kenny's taking it back because I'm going to Japan.
Yep.
So the changes
cycle
hands.
Continues.
Yeah. It's very befitting.
Yeah.
So we did that and we watched anime and, it's really, yeah. I mean, I think this is a good use of our time. But,
I agree.
In the grand scheme, it's probably not the best use of my limited days, because I haven't started packing anything yet.
You packed the manga.
My entire house needs to go away, and I have started nothing.
Yeah, you'll just drop a match as you walk out the door, and you just take clothes.
I'm half tempted to do that. So I need to, after now, I have to like stop doing anything and pack up this PC. So
see, I'm doing you a favor by getting this off of your list.
That's true. I couldn't start packing up like recording stuff until we did this. So.
Yeah. Awesome. So we watched Girlish Number, which is a 2016 anime by a studio called Dio Media. We've actually talked about some other stuff they've done. We talked about Chio's School Road, which was like two seasons ago. It was a high school girl, crazy antics, kind of like
She had to go
gag anime.
She was like walking home every day and something weird happened to her.
To and from school and something would always happen. And
they did Ahiru no Sora.
Yeah, they're doing the basketball anime
airing right now, which I feel like the art for this looks way more like that than it does for Chio's School Road. But
right, directed by Shota Ihata. I couldn't really find anything on him, but it was written by this serial novel author called Wataru Watari, and they've done a few other things that are popular. This seems to be like one of their first big hits. But really, everybody else involved, not super well known. They're all like hardworking B-level people.
Okay, great.
From browsing everything.
Sure.
And including in that is some of the key animation. Some of the secondary key animation was done by Gainax. 2016 Gainax, so like the skeleton crew that exists there today.
I still think, I think 2016 Gainax was still shady Gainax.
Oh yeah, definitely shady Gainax.
So, it means nothing. Gainax helped. But it's definitely not a Gainax show.
No.
I will say though that the art was very good.
Yeah, mostly.
Well, I mean, there are some animation budgetary concerns.
Yeah.
Here and there, but like the art, color palette choices, character design, everything was pretty beautiful looking.
Yeah.
I enjoy, maybe people hate this. I don't know if there's any sort of two camps online with this particular subject, but I really enjoyed the sort of stylized filter that's on this show. And I've seen it on some other shows in this, from this era, like 2016 to maybe nowish, where it's got this sort of like, I don't know, retro sort of filter where it kind of looks, the color's a little, I don't know how to explain. It's like,
I get what you're saying.
The lines, the everything's not, like, the coloration is not super solid. So, like, there'll be, like, RGB blur all over the place. And it's like, oh, it looks like it's supposed to look like film or, like, a VCR kind of a color, like incorrect colors sometimes. And I like how it looks. It makes it look kind of nostalgic. And
yeah, I thought the art of the show was really good. Kind of hits you right in the first episode, just kind of like, oh wow, this is, because I read the description for this show and I'm like, it's because it's described as like a show about, you know, voice actors and idols, and you're just like, cool, one of these. And you know, I kind of went in expecting like some 3D animation and dance scenes and stuff like that, but it was pretty well grounded in just straight up 2D.
I'm sure they, I mean, everything nowadays is actually 3D,
yeah. But right, and wrote in like
computer animated. But I think, yeah, it was like it had the flat look,
yeah,
not the 3D CG look. So I mean, it was good. Yeah, I also thought this was going to be more of a like making behind the scenes of making anime kind of a movie, or I mean a series. I feel like a movie because we just sat and watched the whole thing. but no, it wasn't that.
Yeah,
it seemed like, I don't know. I was really hoping it'd be more like Shirobako, and it's more like shittier Golden Time. If you ever saw Golden Time, which is it's like just character drama it's Golden Time with no romance, and it's just character drama, and like they have to be voice actors, and random like melodrama happens, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so I'll give a quick overview of the plot. The show kicks off as like kind of you're introduced to Chitose Karasuma, and you know she's like a kind of low level voice actress. She does what they refer to as like mob characters, so just people in the background or one shot voices. And her brother Gojo is her manager. She works for this company called Number One Produce. The best. and, you know, she's doing these voices, and she starts out doing just a background voice. And there's two other kind of more pro level voice actors working on the same show. Shibasaki. Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Let me get that right.
If you could not cause me to need to edit.
Oh, sorry.
That would be awesome.
Shibasaki and why can't I find it? Momoka Sono. They're like two pros, and they'll come back later. But after she does this recording, her production, she goes out and has drinks with the production company, and this producer shows up, Kuzu P, the producer, total fucking moron. But he apparently has like a golden touch when it comes to shows, or he does up until the beginning of this show.
Yeah. Apparently he like, we never find out.
He
like,
was good.
Anything about this, I hate the plot of the show is all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's just this sleazebag sort of guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm the producer, and he's real stupid and real loud and like uses slang and is just an obnoxious character.
He pitches an idea to Number One Produce's president of putting together an anime that is a combination of the two hottest 2016 trends, light novel adaptations and idol shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And being an idol show, they need innocent rookies. So they're like, we'll get three no-name voice actors to be the main characters, and we'll adapt a light novel and we'll make an anime. And so that's kind of the plot of this, of the core, the arc of Girlish Number is those three new voice actresses being part of this show that's kind of being bootstrapped together by people who are working hard but also not very competent.
Yeah. It seems like they dropped the ball in several aspects, and they're just sort of making this thing hastily just to make a quick buck is what it seems like. They just have kind of some half-baked ideas, like, yeah, let's do this thing and throw it together and make some money. It's sort of like their premise. So I thought it was going to be more of like a, like dive into all these technical aspects of making an anime and like how, I don't know, just how like deals go and how it goes. Like, I really thought it'd be really close to Shirobako, mm-hmm. but like from the voice actor's perspective. But it was not this. It was like, yeah, they're voice actors, and yeah, you see some like production things a little bit. No production of things about the anime at all. It's all like the audio production side.
Yeah. I had the exact same hope as you, because the first three episodes are super production heavy. Like, they're all bookended with production meetings between all the staff, like the line art producer and the character designer, and all these people are like featured. And you think, oh, cool, this is going to be about like kind of a ragtag group of people who really don't know what they're doing or are not as professional as they portray, pulling something off.
Yeah. It was building up to be cool. I was like, all right, yeah. I'm on board with this. Like, let's see if they can make an anime.
And that's totally not what it is.
No, after the first, what was it, like three or four episodes?
Yeah.
They just like, just ignore this aspect to the audience completely. They're like, all right, now that we've set up that we're underway and we're making this thing, let's focus on like the personal problems with these seiyuu and
yeah.
like, what they have going for them. I'm like, no, I don't fucking care about that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I do, but like, I want it told to me in the context of the show's progression, like, or the show within the show that they're making. I want to like watch them all struggle and come together and make this production that like, seems like it's going to fail. Not like the voice actors being like, I want to be popular. How can I be popular? I don't really care about the show I'm working on. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I agree. Like it just pivots, and they wrap up the first core of the show they're making, which is shorthand in the show as Kurusei. So we might, if you hear us refer to that, we're talking about the show within the show. So they, you know, they wrap that up really quickly, and then it's like, oh, okay, you have Chitose, and she's like, thinks she's popular now. And it is kind of cool that they show how they do the promotion for the series, which isn't something that in the West we see very much of, but in Japan is actually a big thing that always happens.
Oh, like live action promotional events. Yeah.
And like showing up and meeting people. But then it's like, oh, the show's over. And spoiler, it sucks and is not really well received, even though they are able to sell some CDs.
Yeah, they resolve that part really fast. Yeah. Like, they just like, all right, like halfway through the show, they're like, all right, we did the show, it's done, and now it's gonna start airing and like, you know, it'll start airing and they'll start getting reviews and do other projects, but it's like, okay. It wasn't really about making the show. It's really about their life. Even though I feel like the pacing was super strange and the tones kept shifting around and it wasn't quite clear what the show was trying to accomplish in its story.
Yeah. It starts off being focused on Chitose.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, but there are, it's almost like the camera gets distracted by more interesting characters. So you have Chitose. And she's the main character of the show. She's like, she's really, she's not a good voice actress. I mean, she gets a little better when she actually starts trying, but she's like not good.
No, she was just yelling the lines.
She was just like, yell the lines, yeah. And like monotone, yell the lines, no emotion.
Yeah, that's the very beginning. Like, I really want to stress that like it shows the tone in the first part is like, this serious anime studio and this like serious manga light novel author like are making this production, and it's real shaky, and they're gonna cast these people, and they do, and but everyone's kind of serious and it's grounded in reality. And then like this main character Chitose is like, thinks she's hot shit but is nothing. And she comes strolling in and kind of offending everyone about how much she's like a cool professional who's the lead actress, and like all the other seiyuu are like, all right, lady, like you're nothing. And I thought it was going to show more on like kind of err on the side of being serious and like showing her that she's not all that, and she'll start learning. And like the people who are being serious and cold to her are just like annoyed at her lack of respect. But like, no. You quickly find out that like that isn't even, they don't even care. Like it really seems like it's going to be that, but then they're like, no, they're just kind of annoyed at first, and they're like, whatever.
It's fine. Yeah,
it's fine. The industry, it seems like a bigger deal. Like she's just sort of disrespecting everyone in the industry by having like complete naivete about like the entire situation.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they just sort of write that off. They're like, nah, she's just dumb.
Yeah.
And like the people next to her kind of annoyed at first. And the girl who's super annoyed, who wants to be a serious actress, like, that doesn't represent the opinion of most people.
Yeah.
She's just stuck up, and that's her own thing. Like, okay.
Yeah. And you get... So what the show starts to do once it wraps up kind of the major arc of creating the anime series is it just starts to develop a bit more about the main cast's lives. So you get a focus on Momoka Sono, who is the daughter of a famous voice actress. And so you get a little about her parental life, where she's the daughter of a famous voice actress and a famous director. And so they're super supportive of her career and like treat her like an adult, even though she's in high school. And they're like, she gets offered a part and her parents are like, oh, you know, we think you should take this, but you should really do whatever you want. and you should make the decision for yourself. And so Momoka feels very almost unsupported by her super supportive parents.
Yeah.
And then you have counter to her, kind of on the same pro level, Shibasaki, who doesn't really, like, her parents aren't in the business. They own a ryokan in Yamagata, which we spend a whole episode, we spend like basically two episodes at, of a 12 episode series, which is weird.
That was the weirdest part. From like, I understand that they need to like show things about the characters, but they I feel like they hyper focused on some aspects of like what they're trying to show us in the background of some characters, and 100% glossed over other characters.
Yeah,
where I'm like, I don't understand how you guys are assigning importance to these details about like the cast's life. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because we get you know, Momoka and Shibasaki get a focus, even though they're technically not in the core three. Like, the core three are Chitose, and then the other two rookies, Yae, who is like the same year group as Chitose, but they're both kind of background characters or background voice actors. And then what's the name of the third one? The name of the third one is
the older one, the Osaken.
Yeah, the Osaken. Kazuha? Is that who? No, that's not it.
Just call her Osaka.
No. Koto. Koto Katakura. And like, you don't get any background on Yae or Koto-chan, which sucks because Koto-chan is really cool and she has these great interactions with Shibasaki because she's like 28. I think she's like older than everybody else, and she's like more worldly. But we don't get any background on her, and that sucks.
Nope. Or the male lead.
Yeah, the male lead.
We have no idea. He just shows up and says, "Boy," like the main protagonist's lines, and then leaves, and like leaves. It doesn't even tell us anything.
It's. I love these shows back up in like the last episode, and everybody's waiting for Chitose to show up, and he walks in, and they're like, "Oh." It's like, yeah, he's part of the show too, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. And like the producer's underling, the one who like takes charge for
Tawada,
like we don't know about his life, like what was he up to? And then the one who's like a fuck up,
Kuzupi, yeah,
he like sucks, but we don't know why, because they keep alluding they'll say like, oh yeah, he used to actually be really good before. They don't say this, but they were like alluding to like before the incident.
Yeah,
he used to be like a really good at his job. Now he just sucks, and we're like, oh, well, what did he do? Like, how did that happen? And the anime's like, I'm not gonna tell you that.
You don't need to know.
It doesn't matter.
Has to like, do something with a 40-centimeter fish, and that's about all you get.
Yeah, he like spends like he plays hooky from work and is like trying to catch a fish for, and then we're like, why? And he doesn't. It never reveals. He's just like, it's time to go back to work. And he just goes. But then he has an encounter with one of his old coworkers who he has a rival with, and that happened, I guess, and then it was over, and we're like, who's that guy? Why is he here? And they never come back and talk about it.
No, they never resolve it either, because Kuzupi is like visiting a like a hostess club, and his favorite hostess is a super big anime fan, and one day he's in there, and he's like, where's Mai Mai? And you know, one of her coworkers is like, oh, she's with somebody else today, and this guy walks by, and he has some history with Kuzu, and it's apparently somebody who forced Kuzu out of his previous company or had some interaction with the incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the final episode, you still see that guy with Mai Mai, and you're just like, oh, okay, I guess Kuzu like just continues to suck.
Do we know if this is based off a manga or a light
It's based
novel?
Off a serial novel that ran in a magazine.
So this 12 episode adaptation must like not even scratch the surface of like what's going on.
Yeah,
because they're the plot points they choose to like animate are wildly inconsistent. Like, I don't understand what the tone of the show is supposed to be, or like the real plot. It's just strange. It's like if they tried to put all of Nana into 12 episodes and then just sort of were like, here's some characters, here's some stuff they're up to, and then like here's some threads, and then more stuff happens later on, but just don't worry about it. It's like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, what is this? Is this a show about, like, in Nana, is this a show about a band? Is this a show about these girls' like apartment roommate situation? Is this like a love story between these two people? Oh well, episode 12 done.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what
just happened?
What is this? So like, it totally felt not rushed, but just like they only had 12 and they had to do something.
Yeah.
So,
well, I would say that they didn't know what ultimate point they wanted to make.
Yeah.
because ultimately they end up being like, I don't even know. I can't even voice what the like message you're supposed to take away from the show is. Like, do your best and try hard. Or like, it's good to try hard, or
there's not the classic like conflict resolution thing we all accept as a valid plot of a show doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like they have to make the anime, and they do, and they keep going to idol events and it's over.
it's like
what?
Like, I think Girlish Number to me is like 2/3 of a good show. Up until episode 8, I really like it. But the problem is 9 through 12, Chitose returns to the focus, but she burns out as a voice actress because she has her like one hit and then can't get any other work. But it's because she's not good. Actually dedicated and doesn't try hard.
Yeah, well, that's another complete separate thing. Like, her personality sucks. Yeah. It's just her own fault.
Right.
And she realizes this is her own fault for being a bad person.
Yeah, so like, that kind of gets resolved, but she's like, she spends the last like 4 episodes really depressed, and you're just like, okay, this is not the fun comedy that I was enjoying for the last 8 episodes.
No, that's true, but it's also not like, I felt like the first few episodes also weren't a fun comedy. Mm. So it set me up in the beginning like, all right, it's going to be like a drama with comedic parts.
Yeah.
But so it started off being a little bit like that, and then was like, no, it's actually kind of gaggish and like not really that serious, and then it goes back to being like a serious thing. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah, pick a lane.
Yeah, pick. I don't understand. Like, I wasn't taking this seriously anymore, and now you're trying to make it seem serious again. Like, okay.
Yeah. I did find it. I liked the humor of the show a lot.
Yeah. I did. I would like to say, like, I overall enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
It makes it super disappointing in like how it was executed,
because they didn't stick the landing.
Yeah.
I feel like. Yeah, because it's like, Chitose is like my favorite type of trash character, where they're like, they think they know better and they voice their opinion either out loud or to themselves, and they're just like,
it's quite
not self-aware at all, but very self-obsessed.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you have like, Kuzu is really, because he's so fucking terrible.
He's the worst.
He's so terrible.
He's just this dumb guy.
And
he just, he sucks.
Yeah. The voice actor like chews on his lines. He's so good. He has this weird like cat-like way of talking where
he like slangs his speech with like saying nya at the end. But like in a weird, not obvious like made way. Just like he'll like, anytime something like rhymes with nya in his normal speech, he'll like say it that way.
Yeah,
and it's really strange, and he'll like stutter in this weird way, and it's really funny.
Yeah, and his interactions. I think my favorite character in the show is Towada, who's like the associate producer, mm-hmm. who ends up being essentially the showrunner and making sure everything happens because Kuzu is so useless.
He's just out at hostess bars or just like fucking around. He doesn't do anything.
And so I love like Towada and his like totally beat down personality where he's just trying to get the work done. It's just, the problem is they kind of drop the humor in the last, especially the last 3 episodes. They're just done with jokes.
Yeah, because they got to, I guess, wrap it up.
Yeah.
They're like, we have 3 left. How do we tie this together? Because I'm sure like the novel series is still going or something like this. So it's like, we don't have an ending.
Yeah, and it's just, I wanted a bit more out of it because it started so strong for me.
Yeah, no, like I said, the animation mostly looks pretty good. Did you notice this? There was one part of the animated that was like pre-Promare, pre-Trigger. There was like one sequence of animation where they didn't have black lines for all the everything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, it like went to this weird stylized, because it was like a dream sequence or something, and then it was like this stylized way of animation for like a second, and it would look like Promare.
It did look
because they took all the outlines were like the same color as the inside filled in part. So I was like, oh geez, and it was really like heavily done in like primary and brightish colors. Yeah. So like it looked like super Promare-ish.
Yeah, I do like the character designs on the show a lot. They're done by I was prepared. So Sumie Kinoshita did the character designs for the show. The original character designs were done by this person named QP Flapper, who did like art for the original serial novel. They're really cool. I like...
Well, as we learned from the show, though, the original art and the art the anime studio comes up with may not be the same.
Yeah. See, that just points... Like, the beginning, there's like, a great conflict between the novelist who originated the series they make, Kuruse, and the production company. And the production company has, like, their own desire for what the characters will look like. And the author's like, this is not what I... These are not my characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they do this crazy cool or crazy well animated preview video to get people hyped for the show, and they blow like the entire animation budget, and it looks like the real show looks nothing like this preview.
The real show looks like garbage anime, like a
from
joke,
the 90s.
Like a joke 90s anime. Like, so when you're watching clips from like the show within the show, you're like, what is this? It's like worse than Shin-chan level, like just dumb derpy, like
so bad
animation that's like purposefully terrible, and you're like, what? And everyone makes comments like, what is this? Like, what is this show? How is this? This is not supposed to look like this.
I thought there's a really good interchange where Chitose gets some early good positive feedback from social media. She's like trying to get to like 5,000 Twitter followers, and then the show comes out and it's really bad, and then she's reading the comments and she's just like destroyed.
Yeah, they're just like, she sucks, she's the worst,
this, yeah,
it's like trash actress, like she should die, like all these comments like on 2chan.
Oh, so bad. Yeah.
So yeah it was interesting. The plot was interesting. Just these voice actresses who are trying to make their careers. They do their daily sort of routine. They have some drama and politics.
Yeah.
They just kind of drop the whole like making an anime kind of an aspect in the beginning and just start focusing on character stuff. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's Gerlich's number.
It is. It just sucks because like all the best characters to me are just kind of not like... Towada, you mentioned he doesn't really... We don't get any background on what his motivation is or why he works so hard. The manager for Shibasaki, we see him a bit. We don't get enough of Momoka's manager, even though she has some like great moments where she yells at Kuzu like, you suck, you're trash.
Yeah. so many disappointing things. Like, I would like to know more about... the original light novel author, because he's portrayed as like this really really weak, soft-spoken man, like he can't speak above a whisper, and he's super like, he's like the opposite of assertive. So he'll be sitting there in the meetings and they're like, can we do this? I don't know, can we do this? And the author will just be like, yeah, it's okay, we can do that. Or like, oh, I'd rather you didn't do that, but they just steamroll hit whatever he says and just do whatever they want, and he just doesn't put up any sort of fight. So this like shitty anime based on his work comes out and he doesn't have any say in it.
Yeah.
But we're like, well, what about, I want to know more about his story and like what he's up to, but they just don't, they only show him as like kind of comedic relief, and you're like, no, like he's the whole source of this, like for a show that was like kind of setting it up to be like a serious telling of of, you know, inter workings of the industry of getting something adapted.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just slapsticky, kind of, not slapstick, but just really dumb jokes and just like sight gag humor. Like, oh, he's weak. Oh,
yeah.
He fell down. Okay, cool.
Yeah, there's, yeah, it does. It's interesting to think of like, oh, this is a series based on a novelist writing about the anime industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is cool to see from their perspective how these things tend to go. Not well. If I had to say how Watari thinks about how well light novel adaptations for anime go, it's just like really shitty, terrible to the original author, and they don't care about the source material.
Right.
Which I don't know if that was a meta discussion about what was happening in the adaptation.
That was my theory when we were watching it. I thought like, oh, is this like how he thinks of it? He's like, just I thought maybe that the original author just had all these situations happen to him, or maybe he knows someone who this has happened to, or I'm like, oh, is the producer really like a giant douchebag like this, or is it really this hard to get the original contents author, like the original contents vision into an anime adaptation? Do you really have to like work this hard in a meeting to like get your intended vision through? So that stuff was super interesting. Like, oh, is this kind of how it goes? Like, this is cool. And then that's when I developed that theory of like, maybe this is kind of like based on some real fact of, and I'm sure those things actually are, but they quickly pivoted away from that. They're like, no, okay, you saw that. Now let's talk about how Chitose is just like really stupid and can't live her life for six more episodes. Okay.
Kind of drags. That is interesting. So I just checked. So this author was also the author of a novel series called My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu, which was adapted into an anime. So I wonder if it's just firsthand experience of what this is like.
Okay, yeah.
Right. It's hard to know if like he is that soft-spoken, quiet novelist, or if he just thinks that maybe there's someone he knows or something he's experienced.
Or it's a metaphor for it doesn't actually matter what you do or say.
And right. Just... Might as well be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I would recommend... I struggle because I think if I was going to tell somebody to watch an anime about the making of anime, I'd be like, go watch Jirobako.
Of course. Jirobako's great.
And like, this isn't the one. Like, there are other things to spend the 4 hours watching.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you like voice actors or like you're interested in voice actors and how it's done in Japan. This is kind of interesting.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. But I also, you get that from Jirobako. Like, yeah. there's a whole character that covers the entire series that is here.
Mm-hmm. Again, and this is only 12 episodes, so they really rush through and don't fill out the pacing and the plot very well.
Yeah, and there's actually, I mean, you see a few things like how they do voice acting with, like, they see the storyboard, you know, flash in front of them, and they do it all together. And, you know, what notes they get on the script. And that's kind of interesting, but it's quickly abandoned. It's like, okay, we covered this aspect of it. Now we're going to move on. I don't know. I'm not going to say I dislike this gift that we were given by our Secret Santa. I feel it's cool that we got to watch a show that neither of us really would have cared about had it not been presented to us as something to watch.
Sure. It wasn't torturous to watch or anything. Mm-mm. So that's fine.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited in the beginning. I was looking forward to it. So it's more disappointment than anything that I'm feeling right now. Like, man, I wish it would have went in some direction that it definitely didn't go in. So it's annoying. But what can you do?
Yeah, that's true.
I would also not recommend this.
Yeah.
Unless you're really into, I don't know. Idols,
voice actors.
I feel like you should be more into idols than voice actors.
Yeah, but then if you're into idols, then I'd be like, go watch Zombieland Saga.
Yeah, sure. But this might be something you like if you like idols. There is plenty of idol stuff, but it's not the focus.
Yeah,
it's mostly the voice acting stuff. But they really, I mean, there's like CD releases and signings and stuff, so it's pretty like idol focused.
Idol heavy,
right? Idol heavy, not idol focused.
Trying to think, like, I would recommend this to Jack, but Jack's already watched it.
So. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's not a lot to say about this. It's just sort of, it's kind of medium.
Yeah, which is always the worst thing. It's like, oh, by being two-thirds of a good show, it's not really, I don't know, I really don't have a strong opinion. I'm like, I've seen it.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like, cool, now I can... compare this to something else that I watch in the future.
Yeah.
If it has similar themes. Cool.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's cool, I guess, to see other things that DO Media has produced.
Yeah. Now I have some example of what their stuff looks like. And if this director ever makes something again, I can be like, well, hopefully he wraps up the story and knows how to tell a decent plot.
Yeah. I was checking and this, the director did a lot of key animation work.
In the same show?
No, not. I don't think in the same show, but like they were also the director of Domestic Girlfriend, which came out last season.
Did you watch that?
No. It didn't seem like my kind of thing.
Did you actually look? Is that opinion based only on the title, or did you actually look it up?
I looked it up and I read the description. I was like, this isn't. It was like a high school. Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah, it was like set in high school, I think. But I think that was the only other thing they've directed. They've done some like animation direction, but I don't think any other stuff.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Not the point. The point is, Girlish Number, we did it.
Yeah. Fulfilled our obligation.
It's very difficult. This is a classic example of biting off more than you can chew.
Yep.
But we did do it. Now, all we have to do is release this on Christmas, and it's considered a win. Like, we've dribbled the ball all the way to the key, okay? And all I have to do is either shoot or pass to the center who's going to dunk. But we're at that crossroads. And there can always be another bigger man on going to block the dunk.
Just going to smack it right out of our hands.
So we'll see if we can get this on Christmas. That is the goal.
Yeah.
So cool. You got, and I mean, also as a, what's the opposite of a preface?
Conclusion?
I want it to be like an afterword. An afterword.
As an afterword. Yeah.
This episode is epilogue. Yeah. Epilogue works. It's this episode is coming out before everything, a few other things that we have. So that's why it's in a different format.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, if you came to us from Secret Santa, we really appreciate that. I don't hold any ill will towards whoever asked us to watch this. I can certainly see why people like it. I have a hunch that the reason this was put forward is because there's a Christmas episode.
Well, it's not even an episode.
It's like there's a Christmas scene.
Yeah, they dress up the Santa idols for a second, and that's it.
And it ends during the winter. So maybe that's why it was put forward. But to our Secret Santa, thank you. This was... You know, I can think of a worse thing to do on a dark day than sit in a room and watch anime.
That's true.
Yeah, and so if you came to us from Secret Santa, please check out some of our some episodes before this, and then stick around for, we have two really exciting episodes coming after this, where we review Promare by Studio Trigger.
Oh, yes.
And then we give a report on KomoriCon 2019, where we got to interview Studio Trigger.
Yes. And we may, no promises.
Yeah.
But we may get to show our interview.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Maybe. We still don't know yet.
Yep.
That's kind of what's dragging out the premiere episode. But if we don't hear something soon, I'll just post it anyway.
Because, yeah.
Not post the audio anyway. I'll post the premiere episode anyway without the interview.
There you go.
Just because I want to do them as a two piece.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, you can find us anniebroscreative.com or on Twitter at anniebroscreative. You know, we have a whole family of dysfunctional podcasts. Recommendations from my otaku spouse, which is a married couple who recommend different series to each other and force them to read, watch, or play. Then there's Real Japan, which is a series that's all about talking about live-action adaptations of anime and manga. And then you have us, Annie Bros.
Annie Bros Podcast. You can get to just our podcast at www.anniebrospodcast.com. And you can find this on Spotify and Google Podcasts, or whatever the Google Podcast thing is called, and also iTunes. So leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah,
you can subscribe to our regular RSS. It's very easy to get podcasts these days.
Yep.
So
everywhere podcasts are
just sold. Search Annie Bros Podcast in Google, and you'll get like every way.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at @sakoku_otaku.
Yep, I'm at Levin Voth on Twitter, and I don't tweet anything usually.
You tweeted something.
I tweeted a little bit recently, just because I felt like it. But
yeah, you'll tweet more in Japan. You'll have a lot of time on your hands.
I think like that's the opposite of the case.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening to our bonus episode.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Oh, sorry. You go.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Have a nice 2020.
Yeah. And if anybody's listening to us to avoid talking to their family during the holidays, we support you.
Well, you should talk to your family. It's not going to be around forever.
Now you're talking like Chosa.
Oh, well. Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody. なんとかなるのだ天才かわいさだってそういうのでしょずるさもスパイスエッセンス待ってろシンデレラストーリーレッツゴーゴーゴー